Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in here in our midst, because the place that we gathered don't matter. It's your presence that matters, O Lord. For you're not building a house made of bricks or mortar. You're building a temple made of living stones. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that through him we can offer spiritual sacrifices. Holy and acceptable in your sight. Just want to thank you for every opportunity that you give to us, that we can come and listen to your word. Lord, be sanctified by your word. Be convicted by your spirit. Be corrected. Be encouraged. Be exhorted. Lord, and be strengthened so that we live this life of faith, not giving up, looking at the situations that is going around in this world, but keeping our eyes fixed on Christ Jesus, who is the author, and not only the author, the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. Thank you once again for this time. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that you give to us. Lord, thank you. A privilege that is not afforded to many of our own blood-bought saints of the living God, who have to meet in secret, who we have to meet, Lord, in places, Lord, where their lives are at stake. But Lord, you have given us this privilege that we can come freely, still a free country, to come and worship you freely and to listen to your word freely. And therefore, I pray that you would not miss out on these opportunities. We will not take these opportunities lightly. But Lord, we will build ourselves on the most holy faith. Thank you once again for this time. Lord, even as we meditate upon your word, pray, Father, for an unction, an anointing, that your word will come forth with clarity, with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it will break yokes in our lives. And Lord, strengthen us so that, Lord, we will walk this walk of faith without losing heart and finish the work that you have entrusted into our hands, our own personal race, and the ministry that you have entrusted into each one of our lives. Thank you, Father. To that end, I pray that you would bless and anoint the speaking and hearing of today's word. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the preparation of the bride and the gospel of the kingdom. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, which was in danger of losing their purity, and purity primarily because of being vulnerable to wrong doctrine and wrong teaching. That because they were babes in Christ. So babies are vulnerable. They can be easily persuaded. They're impressionable. You know, one of the things that convicted us when we wanted to do homeschooling for our children was we didn't want anybody else other than us to be the first teachers of our children. Okay. Now we have outsourced things to others. We expect Sunday school to play the role of the parent to bring up the children. But it's incumbent upon us as parents to influence a child. And why does God give godly parents? It's so that we protect them, because they are vulnerable. They are so easily impressionable. To guard their minds, to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And similarly, even in the spiritual life, in spiritual walk, if you are a babe in Christ, that's what he says to the Corinthian church. He says, I could not speak to you as one spiritual, but I was speaking to you as carnal, as babes in Jesus Christ. And why are you babes in Jesus Christ? What is the one thing that we do with babies? We always want to protect them. Okay. Sammy's baby, you know, the other day was telling me, Anna, she almost came to the edge of the bed rolling. So I said, you know, we as parents, we had that experience. Both our daughters, they had a fall. Okay. And so we are very careful. So we warned the parents, you know, because it can happen in a split second. Because they don't know. So babies are vulnerable. And therefore, this is here, Paul is telling something very powerful. He says, you know, you guys, I'm jealous for you. I'm like a parent. I want to protect you. I want to guard your mind from the negative influences around. And this is what he's saying. He says, I've espoused you or betrothed you to one husband so that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. But the problem is, there's so many fads that are coming around, and you're so easily persuaded by them because you do not have strong convictions. But you're forgetting what the ultimate goal for you as a church is, that one day you should become the bride of Christ. And I want to preserve your chastity so that you'll not be corrupted by things which are not supposed to listen to. The first thing that when we decided to take Abigail out of Euro kids, no? My goodness, Euro kids. They're not Indian kids anymore. Euro kids. No, first thing, then I think it was in the month of December. She came home and she started singing one song. I said, where do you hear that? They play it in our school during whatever break. I said, forget about the fees. I just got her out. We didn't even know what we had to do with our children. First thing we did was take her out. That's exactly what Paul is doing. He's saying, you know what? I don't want you guys to lose your spiritual chastity. And that happens because of wrong teaching. So it's important for us to understand. And therefore, why do we insist so much on the word, so that you are taught what exactly the truth is, so that even somebody comes and gives you some fad, you'll be able to discern what is truth and what is lie. And you'll say, no, this is not right. This is that. Even though whatever he's saying is true, the spirit behind it is not right. Okay. So much of investment goes on into the preaching of God's word. And here, of course, we are talking about being betrothed to one husband. And the word for betrothed, as I mentioned earlier, what does it mean? What we know, a very famous verse in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the word for agreed is to be betrothed. Okay, so the word for agreed, interesting, in Hebrew, means to be betrothed, to be engaged. Okay, so you have made your commitment to Christ. You've been engaged to Christ, and there's one day going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, that's going to be a fantastic day where the bride has made herself ready, and what has been given to her is garments, which are the righteous acts of the saints. So in this context, we were looking at some very important Bible characters. We were looking at especially last time we looked at the testimony of Enoch, a type of a believer who is consecrated to the Lord. Consecration is what is required. Okay, consecration. If you read through the Bible, there are two people about whom it's mentioned that they walked with God. Okay. Two people who are mentioned, it's been mentioned very specifically and precisely that they have walked with God. First is Enoch, and the other is? They walked with God. The testimony that they walked with God. Hare Baba. GTC. Somebody said Noah? Yeah, Noah. Yeah, you got the A for the day today, okay? So, Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And if you look at Enoch, is a type of a believer who escaped death. And we understood what death is. I mean, we looked at that in the light of New Covenant, what death is. And we looked at several reasons as to why spiritual death comes. And how Enoch, a type of a believer, escaped death. And he was blameless, and he was counted worthy to escape all the things that is coming around the world and stand blameless before Christ. A type of a believer, consecrated. Enoch means consecrated or dedicated. Okay, so another person we want to look at this morning is a person who escaped judgment. Okay, the person who escaped death and the person who escaped judgment. And about both of these people, it says that they walked with God. Okay, we want to come to that this morning. So let's just put that in context from Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read that, Hebrews chapter 10. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Okay. So, we know who the just are. These are the people who have been justified freely. That's what we are celebrating, Reformation Day. Okay. Sola gratia means by grace alone, through faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone, Scripture alone, etc., etc., etc. All the five solas. Yeah? So, we have been made just. You need to understand, when we have been What does it mean to be justified? It means five things. First of all, that means you have been declared righteous just as if you have never sinned. You had to have a righteous standing with God. Fantastic truth. The second part also is important. First is that not only that you have been declared righteous, that you have also been made righteous. Like Pastor was talking to the Nepali church the other day, he was saying that 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says that you've been born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Meaning, if you have been truly born again, the very nature of Christ has been implanted into our spirits. So we have the nature. So we have not only been declared righteous, we have also been made righteous. So if the person who has been made righteous, he has a lifestyle which is righteous. So we have been justified freely. Therefore, what is the lifestyle for a person who is righteous before God? And that's exactly what Hebrews is scanning through the Old Testament and sampling various testimonies of the people who have lived out a righteous lifestyle. And scripture says, the writer of Hebrews says, they have lived a righteous lifestyle by faith because they had the righteousness which comes by faith and faith alone. Okay, that's the context. Alright, so who are these people? We looked at that. And before we go there, he says, but if anyone draws back. So if you're walking this way and if you draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in it. Okay. But as I told you, in one of our meditations, as I said, what is the will of God? Okay. Whatever gives God pleasure is the will of God. Whatever pleases him is the will of God. That is the reason why Paul says, whether we are present in the body or absent, one of the aims and the ambitions that we have is that we please him in all things. You need to understand something like Pastor was talking about being faithful last time, you know, when he ended his meditation, he was talking about faithfulness, yeah. Those who have been called, those who have been chosen, and those who have been faithful until the end, right? Now, we know the commendation that the two wise servants get. First, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I was listening to a man of God. He made a very powerful statement. He said, if you want to receive that commendation from God on that day, well done, good and faithful servant on that day, every day you should receive the commendation from God, well done, good and faithful servant, because you do not know the day which you die. Now put that in your spiritual pipes and smoke it. You see, because you do not know. So unless and until, so like for example, if I'm hitting my sack or I'm going to bed that night, and if I am not convinced, and if I do not receive a commendation from God, well done, my good and faithful servant, how am I living? I was stunned. I said, boy, what a statement. What a remarkable, requirement that God has from each one of us. That every day of our lives, as a believer, we have to have this peace with God. And God has to look at it and say, okay, fine, this day is gone. Well done. Good and faithful servant. That is the reason why, we keep telling in our church, keep short accounts with God. Don't just, neglect things. And it's important. Where does faithfulness come? Faithfulness comes in what things? Little things. You know, one of the things that I've observed in my life, to be faithful in little things is not easy. Okay, for example, I'll give you an example. Okay. Do you believe that coming to church on time is a little thing? Yes or no? How many of you say yay? Say yay. Yes. Coming to church on time is a little thing? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, it's a little thing. But if I have to come to church on time, first of all, I have to wake up on time. Right? If I have to wake up, that means, for example, if the service is at 9 o'clock, I should wake up at least by 6:30. Okay, I'm just giving you. And if I have to come to church, it's just not a attendance. I'm not going to tick it in my register saying many other students in my class do, I have come to your class. Okay, give me attendance. Okay. they come only for attendance. Now, I'm not coming here only for attendance. I want to concentrate as to what God is, you know, wanting to speak to me that day. And therefore, I have to come with a fresh mind. Am I right? So if I have to come with a fresh mind, I have to sleep at least by, let's say, 12:30, 6 hours. If I have to sleep at least by 12:30, okay, I should have finished the previous day's work by 12:30 and no pending work. And if I have to do, that means in order for me to reach church at 9 o'clock with a fresh mind, there are so many things that I have to do a priori so that I am found in the house of God in time with a fresh mind to receive the word from God. That means to be faithful in little things, it actually demands a lot of discipline and order. You see, I mean, I was thinking about this. I was thinking of how much we neglect those little things. Little things. And because it's just not one day, it's consistent. Like we tell parents, you know, who come to our meetings, parents teacher meetings, and we say, you know, your child is like late all the time to school, most of the time. And we say, you know what? And if the learning of the child happens in the first part of the day because their minds are fresh. Okay? Because, and therefore, we try to give the best during that time, because after the day progresses, they kind of taper off and they reach a plateau and, you know, there's like, enough is enough. So we want to just, you know, capitalize on that. So if you miss out on the first part of the day, you will miss out on a lot. And therefore, if you want to speed up the learning of your child, ensure that he comes or he or she comes on time. It might be a little thing, but do it consistently for a month and you see the progress in your child. You see, that is the reason why little things matter. But in order for us to be faithful in little things, it also demands a lot of order from each one of us, which we are not willing to do. Okay, understand. Okay, so, but we are, therefore he says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We don't want to draw back. We just want to push forward and be faithful in little things. And we were looking at several characters from the Bible. And this is essentially the hall of faith, as they call, or the trace of the people in the Bible who had a lifestyle of righteousness being lived out by faith. Okay, how a man who's been declared righteous by God should live is what the writer of Hebrews is kind of encapsulating, if you will. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is what he says. By faith Abel, we looked at the fact that he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And what is the more excellent sacrifice? Right? We looked at that. Then we also looked at the life of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because the Lord had taken him. And before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we looked at life of Enoch, a life of consecration. So we talked about Abel, a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice meaning an excellent sacrifice which is acceptable to God. Second, we had looked at Enoch, a life which is consecrated. Third, we look at a man. Because of a life of consecration, he escaped death. And you know what the word Noah means? Anybody? You know what Noah means? Man who is at rest. It's remarkable. Okay. The man who is at rest. Okay. Visrantilo pravesinchina. Vyakti. The man who has entered into the rest of God. I like the song that sister was singing. You know, that is our family song, prayer song. We don't get those lyrics these days. Huh? One of the lyrics says, Koddinarudanu. దిద్ది నన్ను యొద్ధ నీ యొద్ధ చేర్చుము నాయన నీ యొద్ధ చేర్చి బుద్ధి చెప్పుము ముద్దునైతే నాయన నాయన ఓన్లీ దోస్ పీపుల్ హు నో తెలుగు విల్ అండర్స్టాండ్ హీ సేస్ ఐఎమ్ లైక్ అ ముద్దు ఫెలో ఐ డోంట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఎనీథింగ్ లార్డ్ ప్లీజ్ కమ్ అండ్ టీచ్ మీ ఓకే ఓకే దిస్ లిరిక్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ దేర్ ఎనీ మోర్ ఓకే వీ హ్యావ్ ఆరాధన 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 3 times స్తుతి 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 4 times అండ్ దెన్ యూ నో వీ హ్యావ్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ మ్యూజిక్
And we feel that we have worshipped God. You know, those days, that's the reason why every once in a while I try to introduce our old songs so that, you know, we don't forget our roots and our languages is fresh in our mind. Because otherwise, you know, after my generation is gone, Telugu is gone. At least in my family. Okay. So we have to preserve it. Okay. Okay. Anyway. So we want to see a man who is addressed. Okay. Consecration was Enoch. A man. How does one who has entered God's rest live? This is what is said about this man. Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 7. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. If you look at this entire verse, there are seven things actually. We did that study some time back. I'm not going to do that study this morning. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of God, of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark, prepared an ark for saving of his household, condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Seven things he did, and therefore he's called the perfect man. So, what is the kind of a context that he's living in? This man is a man who escaped judgment. And there's a judgment which is coming to the world. And Jesus himself warned. He said, as the days of Noah, so will be the days of the Son of Man. And how was it during the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Okay. So, like, everything was life as usual. Nothing conspicuously terrible is happening on the outside. But if you look at the internal aspect of every man, the Bible says, every thought and the intent of intention of people's heart was what? Evil continually. What is that? All that, you know what the word is? All the day, they are only thinking evil. The word continually, that's what it means. Right from the day that he wakes up to the time that he sleeps, and even in his dreams, he's only thinking evil. Okay. That is how man has come. He has come and he says, the entire earth is corrupt before me. So this man who escaped judgment was living in a very, very hostile spiritual environment. And that's exactly where we are living in these days. No? Let's kind of position Noah, very familiar passage, and let's look at some very important lessons from his life. Genesis chapter 6 says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. Now the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now who are these sons of God? We know, at least in our church, the teaching is these sons of God were fallen angels. According to the book of Jude, epistle to Jude, these are the angels which left their first estate. Okay? And they mingled with the seed of men. And what they created were giants. And the Lord said, in verse 3, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. Let's go on. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Okay. Now, we do not know who these mighty men are, so we have so many mythological stories that we have read of all these superhuman people who had different kinds of genes. Okay. And we have such movies that Hollywood produces even now. Superman. The only person who's pure, I feel, is Batman. Because he's the only superhero who doesn't have special DNA. He's only got, you know, some technology. Yeah, it's very interesting. No, we had an AC in our room, second floor, and we didn't have the possibility to plaster it with white cement on the other side, because it's very difficult to reach it. After a while, we were hearing strange sounds in the AC. Okay, very strange. Then I thought it was a rat. Okay. So, and that rat was messing up the AC, not this one, the one in the next second floor. So I said, I have to get called a AC guy. He came, and he said, sir, it's a rat. It's made a mess, all poop all around. So, let's just remove it, he said. Let's chase the rats out. So he opened it and he was trying to chase the rats out, and the rats were not going out.
Okay, and then I said, what is it? And I came down, I looked at it, making sound, it looks like a rat. I said, all the children, get out of this place. I locked them up in the other room. So this guy said, sir, rats are coming out, they're going to fall onto the floor, I'm going to take the stick and kill them. So he did this like this. 4 bats came out. So 4 bats came out and he jumped on the floor and he said, sir, Batman, I am Batman. Okay, that's the only superhero. No? Sir, Batman, I am Batman. So all the other superheroes, by the way, you see, they have special powers because the DNA has been manipulated. Spider-Man, DNA manipulated. Superman, DNA manipulated. Yeah. Now, how do these guys get ideas like that? You think ideas are floating in the air like just like that? DNA is getting manipulated over here. And the Bible talks about Noah. It says Noah was perfect in his what? That means he kept his generation, his genome pure without getting it mixed with the demonic DNA. Oh, you need to understand this. This is something strange that is going on. And do you think it is not happening these days? Absolutely, it is happening. And you don't even know it. Why do you think Hollywood comes with such strange movies? Because these ideas exist. And we accept it because in our psyche, those ideas exist. Okay. So, men of renown. Giants, Nephilim, the Bible says, calls them giants, Nephilim. Actually, the word for Nephilim means the fallen ones. People who have fallen from their estate. And these people are people who cannot be redeemed. The irredeemable people. The Nephilim. And you'll see that Anakim, Nephilim, Zamzumim, etc. You'll see that even when the children of Israel are entering into the promised land, they have to get rid of a lot of giants to occupy that place. And these are not normal people. Okay. Because I was introduced to this right when I was growing up. In my growing up days, there was a teaching called Return of the Nephilim. I went through the teaching. And then, of course, so many people, so many men of God, actually kind of, when I read them, I said, yeah, this is what is happening. Okay. And there's going to be a strange mixing of the human race. There's going to be a marriage between the demonic and the human before the coming judgment. Yeah? So let's move on. That is for your fascination, but that is not what today's teaching is all about. Yeah? Let's move on. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was what? I like that. I don't like it. It's only evil. Observe. Continually means what? All the day. Puddhu ninche santhana varku. From the morning till evening, what are they thinking? Only evil. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart. Notice where we started this. We started here. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive. So he's looking at this corrupt generation. Okay. So the word for spirit. Strive is very interesting. To strive means to plead. So how do we plead? Beta, study hard, okay? Keep yourself pure, okay? Okay, please. That is pleading. The word for plead also means to judge. Hey, if you don't study hard, if you do all these things, I'm going to spank you. That is a judge. Why? Because I love. You know, in Hindi they say Sam Dan Dand Bed. Okay? That means I come and say, please do it. Then I compare and say, look at the other person, how is he doing? And if that is not happening, I will come and spank you and say, please do it. All this is happening over here. What is the Spirit of God doing? He's hovering around this corrupt universe, corrupt world system, and is trying to plead with everybody. Pleading, 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 pleading. Change, 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 change.
And unfortunately, I do not know what the population of the world is. Let's say it's 1 million people. Let us give a rough estimate. So out of the 1 million people, 900,000, 92 people. The Spirit of God is not able to touch them at all. No, we need to ask this. We just have to go back 1 minute. Every week, you know what the word of God comes? You know what the word of God does? It comes and what does it do? He pleads with you. Pleads. It's like 52 weeks of pleading is happening from the pulpit. Understand that? So, what has happened? And then this is the conclusion. He says, every thought of man was evil continually, and the Lord was like, oh my God, I'm grieved. So who's grieved here? Who's grieved? Specifically who? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is grieved. So in the midst of this entire world of corrupt people who is grieving the Spirit of God, the Bible says, I like the word. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made what? Man. And I like the next verse. What is the next verse? How is that? I like what? But no, I like that. Thank you, Jesus. But Noah. In all these entire people, generations of people, in a crowd of people which is grieving the Spirit of God, there is one man who yielded to the Spirit of God. Why did he find grace in the sight of the Lord? It is because, not that he was not bad or he was not sinful. No. But he was one man who allowed the Spirit of God to work in his life. And what does it say? Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. And what is the eyes of the Lord? What do we know about eyes of God? Let's see in Revelation chapter 5 verse number 6. This is what is how eyes of God is defined in the Bible. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And the lamb had 7 horns, which signify absolute authority and power, which are the... And 7 eyes, which are the what? 7 spirits, or the 7-fold Spirit of God, sent out into what? All the earth. So eyes of God means what? The Spirit of God. So eyes of God found Noah. That means the Spirit of God found Noah. And he said, you know what? In all this sinful generation, there was one man who said, who allowed the work of the Spirit, or rather yielded to the work of the Spirit in his life. So this morning, and every morning, and every time we come to hear the word, you know what God is looking for? He's looking for a people. One individual, or at least a few individuals, who will yield to the work of the Spirit in their lives. Why? It says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And what does he do? He weighs every path. He weighs your motives, your intentions, your thoughts. Like Pastor was saying the other day, you know, even when you're preaching, you can preach to your own self. What is your intention of your preaching? Because we can get you so used to preaching. What if the Lord says, just take it easy for a while? Understand this. And this again, it says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are where? Are in every place. What do they do? Keeping watch on the evil and on the good. He is there every place. This is what he tells Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. We know these verses very well. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. So that's exactly what happened during the times of Noah. Every
everywhere people are busy, 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 busy. Okay, how busy people are. They don't have time for God. Oh, one man of God said, if you want to grow in God, two things, silence and solitude. What is that? Silence and solitude. If you don't have these two things with God, silence and solitude means be slow to speak, means just stay in the presence of God. Let his word minister to you. And that's one of the exercises that we go through. Every week, what is that? Please be silent and listen. Don't be distracted. So, there's one man who allowed the work of the Spirit to happen in his life. That is what scripture says about Noah. Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So what does the Holy Spirit do? What did the Holy Spirit do to this man? So we have to look at every individual, even when you're reading the Old Testament, we look at it in the light of the New Covenant. How does a New Covenant believer, if Noah is a type of the New Covenant believer who has entered into the rest of God, like we know in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 28, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What will you find? You will find rest for your souls. So how does a person who has entered into the rest of God, how does he behave? How does the Holy Spirit work in this man's life? So I was trying to look at scriptures. I just wanted to summarize the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. This is not all the list, but at least a very significant part of the list. And we studied about each part in different contexts, but I just want to enlist it here. First, the work of the Spirit. What does he do? He convicts us of what? Sin. That is the reason why it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, what does he do? He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's exactly what happened to Noah. There's an entire world which is corrupt. But one man yielded to the work of the Spirit means what? He was convicted. So what should conviction lead to? Next verse, he causes us to what? Repent. So conviction should lead to repentance. So Noah is a man who repented and he made it into a lifestyle. Third one, what does the work of the Spirit do? He teaches us his word. So you will see Noah was taught by God as to how to build an ark so that he can save his household. In other words, how to build a life which will pass through judgment. In other words, which will come through judgment and will be untouched by judgment. He teaches us his word. And then fourth, what does the Holy Spirit do? He writes the law of God in our hearts and he uses what we call as the finger of the Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit is called the finger of God. Okay? And finger of God uses the pen of God. So who's the pen? Today, this morning? Who's the pen? Pastor Vijay is the pen. Okay, my children know. Pastor Vijay is the pen. That is the reason why Psalmist says, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. That is Psalm 45 that we enjoy, no? The Psalm of the Bride. Like the pen of a ready writer. So he is using the pen called Vijay or any instrument God is using over here. What is he doing? He is writing his laws on a tender heart. He gives us a tender heart and he keeps us teaching, keeps teaching his word. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He also gives us the fear of God. The reverence for God. So how do we know that we have reverence for God? We should observe the way we worship, how we behave ourselves, especially in the house of God. Then not only that, he empowers us to overcome our fleshly nature. That's the reason why the Bible says, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, what will happen to you? You will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But Spirit is not going to contend with the flesh anymore. But you need to understand, Noah has moved from being a man of the flesh into a man of the Spirit. That is the sixth one. Second, he, the Spirit, yearns jealously against the affections to the world. In our hearts, if we have some affections towards the world, what does the Spirit do? He says, no, I don't like that. Because he yearns jealously.
In a relationship between a husband and a wife, especially, jealousy is absolutely permissible because we have made a covenant that we have forsaken all and we have completely dedicated ourselves to one another. That's what we have done to the Lord, even in the waters of our baptism. In the eighth one, he drives out the influence of the demonic from my life and makes me live like the citizen of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. If I, by the Holy Spirit, drive out what? Demons. What has come upon you? The kingdom of God. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. Ninth, he empowers us to witness. So Jesus said, no, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what will happen to you? You will receive what? Power, and you shall be my witnesses. He empowers us to witness. Tenth, he gives us what? Gifts to what? Serve him. Different spiritual gifts. And most important, this is how I summarized it. He prepares us for the days ahead. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. For the days ahead means the coming. That's the reason why Jesus says, you know, he will take that is of me and he will teach you and he will also warn you of things to come. Let me tell you something. A believer is always prepared. He's always prepared. That's what I told you, no? You have to have the commendation every day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Every day. So how did Noah reach this point? What happened to him? Once a man has been touched by the Spirit of God, there are certain things that happen to him. There are certain things, I mean, in other words, there's a change which is visible. You cannot hide it. Because his nature changes. What you were before, you will not be. If that is not, I told you, no? You're not only declared righteous, you're also what? Made righteous. Something happens to you. So what happened? When Noah found grace in the sight of God, that means he yielded to the work of the Spirit in his life, something happened to him. This is how scripture captures the life of Noah. I love it. This is the what? Genealogy of. So when you say genealogy, means not the children of Noah. So look, it's not the children of Noah. This is the fruit of Noah's life. His genealogy has changed. He's now a man of the Spirit. There are five things at least which are mentioned about Noah over here. He says Noah was a just man. That's a genealogy. That means his genome has changed now. He's become a man of the Spirit. Second, he was a man who was perfect in his generations. Third, he walked with God. Fourth, he begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Again, I told you, no? You can walk with God and have a family. Okay. I told you. What we say in our culture? Samsara sagaramu daatinchu rama. No, you don't have to do that. All those who understand Telugu understand what I'm saying. Okay. Oh, this samsaram means this family life is too much of a burden for me. Please, Rama, please escape, make me escape this samsara sagaram. You don't have to. You can have a godly, you be a man who's walking with God and as a result have a family which loves God. Unfortunately, you know, every family will have a Ham. That's the reason why I don't eat ham, okay? I've broken so many hearts. Is it hamburger? when I went to North America, one of the things that I got attracted to is BLT sandwich. Bacon, lettuce, tomato. I did not know what bacon was. You know, I thought bacon means beacon. Bacon is not beacon. Okay, beacon means light. Okay. I said, bacon means beacon. I said, oh, maybe there's a strange name to this thing. And I ate it. It was so tasty, crispy. It was melting in my mouth. And I went to my friend. I said, you know what? I had bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. He said, breakfast ki panda. He said, in other words, did you have pig for breakfast?
I said, what? It's big. Oh. And from that time onwards, a very careful pepperoni starts with P. P for pig. P for pepperoni. Okay, so all those things. No. That is just besides the point. So Noah begot sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Okay. Then let's go on. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and indeed was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth, except who? Noah. So there are five lessons about Noah. First lesson about Noah, he became a just man. Everybody say, he became a just man. Second, he was a man who was made perfect in his generation. What is that? Second then, he was made perfect. Third, he walked with God. Fourth, he begot a seed which feared God. Fifth, he kept himself pure in the midst of a corrupt generation. These are five truths about Noah. So if you are a man who want to escape the judgment which is coming upon the earth, we have to practice a lifestyle which is of that of a just man, a man who has been made perfect, who walks with God, he begets a godly seed. And that, by the way, it is true for also for spinsters in Christ. Yeah. Meaning, if you are a man who has made yourself eunuch for Christ, for the kingdom of God's sake, you can still have a godly seed, which is essentially the fruit of your ministry. He kept himself pure in the midst of a corrupt and, in other words, he preserved his testimony. That is important. You need to understand one of the most important things about a Christian life is carefulness. Everybody say the word carefulness. Careful. See, one of the things that we teach our children, most of the time, what do we say? Be careful. Are you road that no jagrata? You're crossing the road. While crossing the road, don't become leftist. Also look to the right. And cross. Okay? Be careful. Be careful how you study. So Jesus also says, be careful how you listen. Be careful what you listen. So the things that have been entrusted into your hands, be careful that you preserve it, lest you slip away or drift away. Be careful, 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 careful. Christian life is a careful life. It's not a careless life. A man who's been empowered by the grace of God is a man who's careful, not careless. Careful as to how he behaves with money. Careful how he behaves with the opposite gender. Careful how he behaves with the people who are elder to him. Careful how he behaves in the office. Careful, because he has to preserve a perfect testimony, a preserved testimony, which is becoming of Christ. Understand that. So the first thing, what has he been made? He's been made a what? A just man. So let us understand who a just man is from the Bible. Bible has got a lot of things to say about just men. Okay? Bible has got a lot of things to say about just men. So let us look at a few things about what does God say about just men. Okay? Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9. This is in the King James of the Bible. This is how it says. Give instruction to a wise man and he will get wiser. Next verse. Teach a just man and he will increase in what? So the first thing about a just man, that he is teachable. He can be taught. Ante vadu cheppina mata vintadu basically. In other words, he always has an attitude, Lord, I do not know anything. I mean, I was stunned by what Pastor James said on his when he was sharing his testimony. He said, I do not know my Bible yet. I said, whoa, what? 30 years. I mean, that is what every real true man of God believes, that he has not learned much in spite of all the knowledge that he has gained about God, because he is perpetually in a sense, in a place where he says, Lord, teach me. I do not know you. He has got the heart of Moses. Lord, these are your people. I am a man. I am a small fellow. I am a muddu. I don't know anything. I can have all these degrees, but they are useless in the kingdom of God. Please teach me, Lord. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Therefore, the Bible says, the Lord made his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. That's what I told, tell my children also. I said, do you want to solve Pythagoras' theorem or do you want to have the mind of Pythagoras? Question. Lawrence is laughing. You never heard this one, no? In your maths class. What do you want? No. Just tell me how to solve the theorem. I want to get marks. Are you? How did you think? That's what children of Israel. I want to know, get this act. I want to come to you. I want to pray. Let me get rid of my sickness. Heal me. But the ways of God is to how to walk in your health. You know why Moses was such a powerful man? Because he knew how to walk in health. And how did he know it? Because he was a man who was given to fasting and prayer. In the Bible, if you want to see the first fasting that happened, it was not man's idea. It was God's idea. When did it happen, tell me? When Moses was... Moses, come up to the mountain and be there and I'm going to give you the law. Okay, it's going to take a while, Moses. So bring along some fruits and vegetables and some seeds. What do you call them? Kaju and dry fruits. Don't get any dry fruits. Please get some dry fruits and a bottle of water because it's going to be a long time in my presence. No, come. Be there. For how many days? 40 days, 40 nights. Think about it, brothers and sisters. How many of us have actually had that experience of really fasting like that, cold turkey, 40 days? That is to know the ways of God. You see, that's what I'm telling you, no? You have to have a preparation to come to the, when you come to the church, to know the ways of God. It takes a lot. And how many times did he do that? 3 times in his life, at least. Once when he was given the law, 2 times when he messed up, 3 times to intercede. To teach. To be taught. So what does it mean? The guy has come to a point where he can receive instruction from the Father and change the way he thinks. Like last Sunday, if I'm right, Pastor was talking about, there were 2 sons. Right? First one, he said, do this. Go into my vineyard and work. He said, I will go, but he did not go. By other fellow, he said, I will not go, but later, somebody said something. He changed his mind. I like that. What did he do? He changed his mind and he did it. So in other words, persons who are just men are people who are willing to change the way they think. Willing to change the way they think. They're willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I do not know anything. Teach me. Doesn't matter. So I want to come to the position where, Lord, I do not know anything. So I'll sit at your feet and I want to learn. It's an attitude, by the way. So that's the reason why it says in Isaiah chapter 28, this is what he talks about. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? In other words, it's a rhetorical question. In other words, very few people. Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from breast. In other words, children, no way. Children cannot sit for 2 seconds in one place. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know, one of the most important teachers in your entire life are primary class teachers. Do you know that? I had a conversation in my staff room when I was working in the university. A senior professor saying to another professor, he said, you know what? All the teachers in the lower grade have to be paid exactly like an assistant professor. I said, yeah, I agree. Teach the lower class. One of the children, teachers I admire in our school is Avagya. Wow, you should see the kind of patience that she's got. It's not easy. And so, because they're not teachable, they're so easily distracted. So who are just men? People who have left all those distractions and who want to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, this is life and death. My eternity hangs in the balance. I want to cling on to every word that you say. Isaiah 50. Look at what it says about Jesus Christ himself. This is the Lord who was the word.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, or of the one who's been taught, in other words, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens to hear as the one who's been taught, in other translations. The Lord had opened my ear and I was not rebellious. Nor did I turn away. Humble people, not rebellious. Okay. So what we have to teach children, whenever there's that rebellion is coming out of the child, one of the things that we need to do is use the stick. Not everybody, but the person who's in charge. Okay. So keep him straight, because it is good for him. So the first thing about just men, they are teachable. Say that, everybody. Teachable. So question is, am I teachable this morning? Am I teachable? Can I be taught? I will choose not to get offended. It's a choice. Second about just men. Proverbs chapter 20 verse number 7. Just men walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I love that. If you walk in integrity, you just don't walk for your own self. Your entire family. For the blessing of the Lord is on the house of the righteous. Everybody said that? The blessing of the Lord is on the house of the righteous. His curse is on the house of the habitation of the wicked, and the house of the righteous is blessed. Blessed meaning your household, your children after you. Think about it, no? Think about it. Gehazi, what did you do, Gehazi? What did you do, Gehazi? What did you do? You went after Naaman, got his gold and silver, and stood at the presence of the prophet, act as if nothing has happened. And the prophet curses him and he says, Gehazi, the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your... Now think about it, no? Gehazi's family is having lunch or dinner. Where? At home. And mama looks at son and says, Hari, what happened to you? That's leprosy there. And the son says, Mama, what happened to you? Leprosy there. What did we do? And after a few minutes, in comes Gehazi. Because it's all because of me. You know why? I made a decision. My family and my household has got the disease. Just man walks in integrity. So what does integrity mean? He's got a single focus. Determined focus. James chapter 1. This is what it says about James chapter 1. If one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith and not doubting. For he who doubts is like the way of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What is this kind of a man? For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he is what? Double-minded. One day hot, one day cold. One day on fire, one day I don't feel like doing anything. Double-minded, single focus, one thing. That's what Jesus comments Martha, right? In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but how many things are needful? I'll tell you something. Our mind, especially I think men, we cannot do multitasking. I mean, women somehow can multitask, you know, they can think about this, they can think about that. My thing is that if I focus on one thing, I'm focused on one thing only. So, why are you not able to multitask? Because my mind is like that. I can't help it. So, one thing is needful. What is that? Sit at his feet. Lay away every distraction. Psalm 27. Famous verse, no? One thing. How many things? Have I desired. And that I will seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What will happen if I do that? The result of it? The result of this is that, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a what? Rock. You know what a man of integrity means? He's a man who is one, means he's always predictable. Okay. In other words, for sure, this particular time, I will find Vijay here. Again, children are not meant, you know, if a lot of children will start off a class with fire. Okay. After a while, slowly everybody drops off. No, but you're found there. That means you're predictable, meaning you have a consistent character. That is one thing we know about Joseph. A man of consistent character. He looked at Joseph, Potiphar looked at Joseph and he said, this guy committed adultery, I don't believe it. I don't think Potiphar believed that he committed adultery. But he had to do it because for the other's sake. Because if he would have committed adultery, I don't think he would have kept him alive. I think he would have killed him. Consistent. So just men what? Are men of integrity. They're one. They're not hypocrites. They don't pretend. If there is hypocrisy in their lives, they will fight it. They're not two-faced. Third thing about just men. For a just man falleth 7 times. Everybody loves this verse, no? How many times he will fall? 7 times. But what does he do? In other words, you know what just men do? Because he's got integrity, he's got this single focus, he will not give up when he fails. You know, one of the things that I've observed about this generation, they so easily give up. I can't do it. So easily give up. Not possible. Sir, I can't do it, sir. So why do they say that they can't do it? Because Vijay is there. Somehow this fellow solved the problem for him. You know, we had solution manuals, you guys. We never had solution manual in our you know, when we were studying. No solution manual. So if we went to the professor and said, sir, we are not getting this problem, please help, sir. He would say, go to the manual tree, sit under it and meditate. You will get the problem. So literally, this is what he said. P.R.K. Rao. Sir, I'm not getting this, sir. I'm trying my best, sir. Go to the banyan tree. Solution manual. We want what? Solution manual. Google search. Artificial intelligence. I'll tell you something. You can use artificial intelligence. You will lose all your intelligence because of AI. All your intelligence will be gone. A just man will fall. How many times? 7. In other words, he will never give up. You know why? Because he has no other way to go. There's no plan B for a just man. There's only one thing. That's what I tell Jesus. No, I tell Jesus, I said, Lord, I sinned, I fell, but there is no plan B for me. There is no plan B. I don't have any other place to go. If this does not work out, there's another option. No plan B like that for me. I like what Pastor James said, no? Whenever Caesar took his army to fight a battle, he got them on boats. They were all scared and they did not want to fight. So once they reached the shore, he looked at the morale of the soldiers and he said, burn the boats. So nowhere to go. What will they do? Fight. Fight. So you'll fall, you'll fight. That means he's got resilience. See, that is just man. One failure, he will say, I will not come to church. I will make myself clean and come to church. Not in a million years. Never going to happen. Philippians chapter 3, this is what he says in Paul. You know, this is what he says. Not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on. Everybody say, I press on. Oh, just man, press on. You press on. I don't have plan B, God. No plan B for me. This is the only path. Only way. If this fails, there's another, like sister tells us, you know, plan B is hell. I don't want that path. There's only plan A for me. So many of us have got different plans. If this does not work, I will do this. You know, in a HR, in a company, you know what the HR does? He will look at you and he says, if you have come to this company for safety's sake and you're searching out for other options, or you really want to work? HR, no? That's the reason they'll ask you this question. Where do you see yourself in how many years? 5 years. That means 5 years. Have you come here because you're preparing for IIM, CAT, so that, you know, if that fails, then you have something to fall back on? Or is this the only option? In an earthly company, if they desire that kind of a commitment, how much more God? Right? So what does Nehemiah say? In Nehemiah chapter 4, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. You know, Nehemiah said, okay, take it easy. No, Baba, if you stop building the wall, you're going to die. You're going to die. There's no plan B for us. So what does he say? Nehemiah chapter 4. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives and fight for your houses. That's what we have, the iconic picture of what? From fight, fight, fight. That is going to be etched in our consciousness, I think, for the rest of our lives. Wow, I think Sister Rachel's DP, you have it, no? Fight, fight, fight. And the same verse, if I'm right, is there. Same verse. Fight, fight, fight. In other words, just man, he might have failures in his life, but he is not going to give up because there's plan B for him. He has just fixed his mind on God. Okay. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Another thing about a just man. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, what was he? Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You know what just men do? They are sensitive to the weaknesses of others. Yeah. They're sensitive to the weaknesses. They don't want to expose the weaknesses of others. They want to what? Cover the weaknesses of others. That's just men. Because they understand, Lord, if you did not cover me, where would I go? And just the way you covered me, I'm willing to what? Cover other people's faults. Because I don't know what circumstances that this girl has gone through. Yes, she is betrothed to be my wife, and suddenly she comes and says that she is pregnant. I do not know what might have happened to her, but I love her. My heart is broken because I feel that she has betrayed my trust, and she's giving me these stories. I can't believe it. So let me just put her away. But let me not just not, you know, publicly expose her. I don't want to do that. You know what the law says? Stone her to death. But a man who is justified by faith, you know what he say? What does he say? No. I understand. Maybe some weakness. Because I know this girl. Something might have happened. Giving her the benefit of the doubt. You know, the result why I'm behind the pulpit is because somebody gave me the benefit of the doubt. Covered me. That's what I was telling on 21st October. I said, no, first five things I learned from pastor. First thing, he covered. Then he counsels. That's the order. First he covers, then he counsels. That's exactly what Jesus does. He covers us first. What does love do? Covers. Then he counsels. That's what he did to the Samaritan woman. He asked his disciples to leave. What was he doing? He was covering. Then counseling her. See, covering comes first and then counseling. So what do just men do? They are sensitive to the weaknesses of others. They don't judge them. You know, if any man should have judged, should have been Apostle Paul. But look at that man who has been broken by God. He says, according to the righteousness of the law, I'm blameless. But he's so loving to those people who are failing. Corinthian church. He says, I have begotten you like, you know, my own children. Understand that. Just men, what do? They cover. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. We know this verse very well, no? And above all things have what? Fervent love one for another. What does love do? Because covers a multitude of sins. Not just one sin. Multitude of sins. Sensitive. Understands. So in the process of covering, you also intercede for the other brother. Job chapter 1. And his sons would go and feast in their houses each on his appointed day and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did how long? What was he doing? Covering. That's exactly what righteous man Abraham is doing. Lord, will you judge the unrighteous with the righteous? Righteous with the unrighteous. If there are 50, if there are 40, if there are 30, if there are 10, what is he doing? Trying to cover. So judgment, what do? They cover. The next, another thing about judgment. Mark's Gospel chapter 6 verse number 20. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man. And holy. And observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him what? Gladly. In other words, what do just men do? They are not fear, they're not afraid to confront the sin of others because they love them. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 16. This is what he says. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the? So they tell the truth and they risk making you their enemy. They risk it. Understand? They risk making you their enemy. What will he feel? He might get hurt. Okay. But this is something which you have to do. We are not trying to cover others in spite of their sin. No. We are covering others and dealing with their sin. You understand? So that's what Jesus does with the Samaritan woman. He's covering her and also dealing with her sin. So he speaks the truth. And like we heard yesterday, how do we speak the truth in? Love. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, right? So the Bible says in Psalm 141 verse number 5, let the who strike me? So just man will, what do they do? They will strike you. Danda marte. They're not afraid to use the stick. Because the stick is good for you. Do you get that up again? All right. So just men. So there's another thing about just men. I want to show another characteristic of a just man. Matthew chapter 27 verse number 19 and Luke 23 verse number 47. Let's see. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Who is this just man, by the way? Who's saying that? Who's that? Pilate's wife. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a... So who's doing that? Who's saying this? You know, just men will never call themselves just. Who praises them? Others. And especially who praises them? Who calls them just? The unbelievers. Your behavior in front of unbelievers will say, this man is a just man. The way you live. Proverbs chapter 27 verse number 2. Let someone else praise you. I like that. And not your own mouth. And it goes on to say, who's that someone else? Who's that? An outsider. Not your own lips. So that is the reason why your behavior before unbelievers is so important. Your behavior before unbelievers, especially if you have unbelieving landlords, even if you have believing landlords, and if you are a pastor. That's what happened to me in for 7 years in Shankaranclave. So they knew that I was a pastor. For 7 years, I said, Lord, I'm a pastor, first thing. Second thing, I'm a pastor of GTC. Tomorrow, nobody should say, the assistant pastor of Pastor James, this is how he behaves. For 7 years. And one of the things, my wife used to say, why are you so paranoid? I said, you don't understand. Okay. And
I hope he doesn't listen to this. You need to be very, very careful. I'm just not just a believer. I'm also a pastor. So 7 years, after 7 years was over, I told you, no? After 7 years was over, we were shifting, and I went and told him, I said, Uncle, we are moving to another place. And he said, come here, ingaba. He called his wife. And he said, Vijay is leaving. And she said, oh. And she said, okay, what we have to do, we cannot do anything. I said, Uncle, before I leave, I'll get everything fixed, no problem. I did everything. I shifted the house. Last day, I went to his house. I gave him the keys. I said, Uncle, I fix this. Everything is done. I gave to him. He called me and he said, Vijay, can I pray for you? And right there, he said, Lord, it was our honor and our privilege to host this man of God. And he wept. And he hugged. And he gave me the entire deposit, which never happens in India. You know why? For 7 years, I was so very careful. He said, he took care of this house as if it was his own. I never had to worry about anything. Because 6 months of the year, he's always in the US. And that whenever he's in the US, I'm in tension. Because even we had thieves who broke into our house when he was out. Outsider. Especially people who are living in your community, they should see you and they should see something is different about you. You don't have to say one thing. Your very presence should emanate the aroma of Christ. Careful. Romans 7:11. This is what it says. My son, I love this. Who's saying this, my son? Not Solomon, God. Be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who what? Reproaches me. You know, there are so many people who are calling Christians all kinds of names because they're saying Christians are like this, Christians are. But Lord, my son, be wise. Look at your behavior and all the people who are reproaching me, I can show him one example and say, look at my son here. Look at my son Job. Look at my son Daniel. Look at my son Dr. Richard. Look at my son Lawrence. Look at my son Avinash. Look at my son. Look at my son. Can you reproach him? Can you reproach him? You can bring all kinds of accusations against him, but I know this man. I can trust him. Mm-hmm. How many righteous men this morning in the house of God? Just men. So he was made just. He was made just. So the first part of Noah's life we see, he was what? He was a man who was the workings of the Holy Spirit in his life, and that made him into a just man. Second, just men should not remain just men. Okay? What did I say? Should not become just men. Okay? What does it mean? Let us see the next step. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 23. This is what it says. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of made. Oh, just men should become what now? Perfect. Okay. That's the second step. That's what Noah is called what? He was a just man. He was what? Perfect. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse number 14. How does this happen? For by one offering he has what? Perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And therefore the exhortation, if you will, in the letter to Hebrews is that press on towards perfection or completeness. So he was a what? Perfect man. He was what? He was a perfect man. He was made into a perfect man. He started as a just man. Don't remain as just men. But me, made perfect. How does this happen? Through the things that we don't like. Through the things that we don't like. What do children dread? Abigail? Don't say math. Come on. Exam. Okay.
Exam. I will give the answer also for you. Don't disappoint me. Okay? Exam. Okay. Exam. What do children dread? Exam. Tension put aside? Exam. Nowadays, of course, children are not tensed at all. Parents are tensed. Exactly. Yeah. you know something? Even spiritually also, actually, spiritual parents are more tense than the children. Do you know that? You know, one of the things that I hear from Pastor James, where are these people going, Lord? he's concerned. He's concerned. Okay. What will happen, Lord? I don't think anybody is ready for judgment, God. You know, when he says those statements, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? He fears for the exam, but we are bindas. Huh? Okay. There are two kinds of fears, for exam. Just pass fear. Are you pass it all wrong? Okay. That is just pass fear. You know what just pass fear? I studied 10 units out of 20. All question slots should come only in 10 units slot. So this is the modus operandi in many of the university exams. But in our university, it's different. They come to my, sir, what is the syllabus for exam? I said, what I spoke in the class till the last class. Every word that comes out of my mouth, you are accountable. So basically, see, you are laughing, no? It's good. So what happens? So I do that in the beginning of the year only. I said, so don't come and ask me syllabus. This is not a quota coaching class. This is university. So listen. And syllabus is whatever comes out of my mouth. Till the last class. So there are two kinds of fear. What did I say? Just to pass fear. Second is, I want to score perfect fear. So that kind of fear is good. You know, that kind of fear is good. Just to pass, I know I'm going to pass this exam, no problem. 60 marks are guarantee. But I want to get an A. I want to get an A plus. I want to get a perfect score. You know, how is to study for exam? I'm not recommending that to you. I don't sleep for 48 hours. You know, the common saying is, before exams, you have to sleep. You have to have a fresh mind. All the thoughts will come. Not for me. Exactly, that will be just pass. My preparation is, I study till I go for the exam. And by the time I reach the exam, my adrenaline is pumping. It's like reached to the peak. And then I write the exam. And after that, I sleep. So one student, one friend of mine, he wanted to do what is a combined study with Vijay Thakurta. I said, bro, I'm not going to sleep. I will also not sleep, he said. Afterwards, he is not used to it, no. He also did the night out with me. He went to the exam and he slept. And afterward, he said, Vijay, I am never going to do combined study with you. Nityanand Pemaraju. Okay. His name is Nityanand Pemaraju. Okay. He's one of my very good, very close friends, no? His aunt was one of the Fox News anchor. I think Anita Pemaraju, okay? A big guy, good guy. He's a brilliant fellow. He can play chess blindfold, by the way. Brilliant guy. Okay, he knows the chessboard, all the coordinates blindfold. So this guy said, you know, Vijay, I'm not going to study with you anymore. So there's a I told you, just pass and you are there's a fear. What is this fear for? I am not satisfied with 30. I'm not satisfied with 60. I want the 100. That is the reason why do I want to live just to exist? No. I want to finish it 100. At least I should have attempted it. So what does God allow for us to be perfected? What does God allow? He allows exams, what we call them as trials and testings and tribulations. So what should you do when you face trials and testings and tribulations? What is the reason? What is the reason why God is allowing all these trials and testings and tribulations? So that you may be made what? Perfect. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, yo. What is that? Surprise quiz. That is the reason why you don't want to send your children to Zilla Parishad. Where do you want to send your children? To Narayana or Chaitanya or Bhashyam. That day, one of my nephews, right? He came to me the other day. His title says BIIT. I said, B series my pastor is teaching. What is this BIIT? He said, Bhashyam IIT. Ah, yes, said Baba. BIIT. So why do you send him to Bhashyam IIT? Because they have surprise quiz, daily quiz, weekly quiz, monthly quiz, okay, half yearly, quarterly, final. That means in his life, before he enters the examination, he should have finished 2,500 exams. That's exactly the reason why there is going to be an ultimate exam that day. On that day, if you want to get 100%, God will allow at least 2,500 exams into your life. I mean, it's a hyperbole. Okay, what is it? Trials of various kinds. Surprise tests also will come suddenly. Knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces patience. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. That is the reason why exercise is good. You have to exercise your faith. You know, before I used to do exercise, when I used to preach, I used to sweat like crazy. I told Sammy, you know, Sammy has to sweat like crazy, but I'm doing like treadmill regularly these days. One of the things I don't sweat at all in the pulpit. Then I try to understand what it is. What is this? Those days, if I had to preach, I had to expend little energy and just to sweat. But all that energy, where am I expending now? On the treadmill. So to cause sweat, I should expend so much when compared to my preaching. And therefore, I don't sweat anymore. Exercise is good. Okay. Trials of every kind. So that you may be made what? Perfect and complete. In Telugu, it's very interesting. Anunangulu. Anunangulu means, the word is, you know, not handicapped. That's exactly the word. Not handicapped. I mean, you understand, no? A guy who's handicapped, when you look at him, you don't want to be handicapped. So if you want to have a complete and a healthy body, every part of the body has to be exercised, should be well fed, and you should have gone through that rigor. That's exactly what God does. The spiritual man, if he has to be complete and have nothing, God will put us through various trials, and he will do that. And one of the trials is to sit through the preaching for 2.5 hours, and today there's no restriction for me. This is my school. Okay. I'm not under duress. Oh, it's only 12:15. See? Okay. So, trials of what? Different kinds. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. In this you greatly rejoice. Though, now for how much time? Little while. Little while only. You have been what? Grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus. Whose praise? Not only his praise, your praise. Whose glory? Not only his glory, your glory. Whose honor? Not only his honor, but your honor at the coming of Jesus Christ. So how do you go through this trial? One thing that you guard your heart is never doubt the love of God. Keep on loving him and keep on confessing. Everybody say, I love you, Jesus. Everybody say that? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. You don't confess that enough. Look at what it says in Proverbs, Psalm 12, verse number 16. 6, not 16. Psalm 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are, how has it become pure, Baba? How is the Bible the pure word of God, although it has been written by fallible human beings? except for Ecclesiastes. According to Derek Prince, Ecclesiastes is a spirit-inspired backslider. Not my words, Derek Prince. Spirit, I like that, spirit-inspired backslider. Why is it a pure word? Why can you trust this Bible as the pure word of God? Because every vessel that God used to inspire this scripture went through trials of different kinds. Trials of different kinds. And they proved God in the trials. That is the reason why the woman at Zarephath looks at Elijah and says, now I know that you are a man of God, and the words that are coming out of your mouth is the truth. That is not that you speak the truth. The words that are coming out of your mouth is the truth. You know why? Because we've been tested by fire. Zarephath means, you know, what does it Zarephath mean? Everybody, anybody? Furnace. Exactly. Refining or furnace. Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he rose. How many times was the furnace heated? Seven times. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, look. He answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of one is like the Son of God. I didn't put that here. Okay. And the form of one is like the Son of God. Son of God. All the chains are gone. You know, one of the ways that you get deliverance is by God putting you through fire. And then you will experience the presence of God even more. Yeah. Trials of different kinds. But thank God, no? God always, with every trial, he also shows us a way of what? Escape. He always shows us. Always. He will not test us beyond our capacity to hold. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4. This is what it says. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though something strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of the sufferings of Christ, or Christ's sufferings. So if you suffer with him, what will happen to you? You will also be glorified together with him. So, how are people, just men, made perfect? Through what? Trials of many kinds. Okay. You know what happens? Because through a trial, you experience God even more. Now what do? The next step. He walked with God. Now you know, you say like, you know, I you see how logical scripture is? He was a just man. He was made perfect through trials. And through the trial, he experienced the presence of God even more. Now he says, Lord, I don't want to let go of you. I want to have that. Okay. But this doesn't happen easily. There's a key in Micah chapter 6. He has shown you, O man, O mortal man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. You know what the word walk humbly actually means? To walk by being made humble by God. That's exactly what it means. Because God is lowly, he can only walk with the lowly. So what does God constantly do? He humbles us so that he can walk with us. That's exactly what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at what he says. And you shall remember that the Lord our God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, so that you shall know that man will not live by bread alone, but by every. Because humbling is not our natural disposition, it's not a default setting. Every time we have a success, what crops up is pride. You know, one of the things that I learned from my mentor, Shibu Clement, a man of God, no? He used to preach to us during a conference. And
We used to all get convicted in your law on our faces before God and weeping and crying, and he knew that deliverance happened. You know, people are convicted, and, you know, people are repenting, children are repenting. And after the service was over, we used to all take a nap and stuff like that. And I just, one day I was just walking to my washroom, and I passed by his room, and I looked at that man. He was on his face before God, and he was crying out and saying, "Lord, it's not me, Lord. It's all you. It's all you. It's all you. It's all you." You know, that's what pastors keep saying. You know, he makes a powerful statement. He said, "You should be humble before God and bold before men." I saw that in Shivu. And those are the things, you know, which are etched in your mind. That life. I don't know if some of you met him. You guys met him, right? Very unassuming. Simple man. See, humbling is not a natural disposition. We have to humble ourselves. That is the reason why lifestyle of fasting is important. Why do we fast? Not to diet. Not to go on a diet and lose fat. No. We go for a fast because there is not body weight, there is head weight. What weight? Head weight. You know what is the most pleasing aroma to God? Everything has to be burnt, and most importantly, the fat. On the kidneys, on the liver. And when the fat is burnt, you know what the Bible says? Sweet smelling aroma. So when all your pride is getting burnt, people are agreeing, some of you. Huh? Yes, something happened like that to me. God has to do that. Because we are not naturally like that. We are not. So if you are going through a time of testing, walking with God, do you think it's easy? Who can walk with the Holy God? Who can? God has to constantly keep on doing it. It says, to the Apostle Paul, he says, I put a messenger of Satan. Whew! Because you will not become puffed up because of the abundance of revelations that you have received. And what is sufficient for you? And so what will I do? I rather boast in my what? Weakness. What touched us during Pastor James' testimony, you know? What is he said? I'm weak. In the world, they look for talent. God chooses the foolish. In the world, they look for talent. God gifts the foolish. So that you do not glorify on your wisdom. You only give God the glory because you know that you received it as a what? Gift. That was an eye-opener for me. It's not easy to walk with God. It's a lifestyle of deliberately choosing to humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And ye shall. You did not say that. Let's see how many of you remember that. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And you shall? In due season, that is important. That is, due time is important. So when do you know due season? When God knows that you're humble. Okay. Lord, I'm humble, Lord. No, I'm humble. No, you do not. You're not. And most humble people are not aware of their humility. Okay. And remember the guy who got the most humble man award? Plaque. Badge. And it was taken away because he wore it. Okay. Anyway. So, he walked with God. In other words, humbled himself. Constantly. What? I'm a just man, Lord. I'm not going to glory in that. I'm walking towards perfection, Lord. I'm not going to glory in that. Lord, I want to keep myself humble until I finish my course. So, how do young people humble themselves? One of the ways you humble yourself is don't speak any evil against or any bad thing or negative thing about your parents. Don't. Choose not to. Only one amen is coming. Only one amen is coming. Choose not to. Ham is ham. You know why? Because he exposed his father and mother. Cast is Canaan. And the entire line of Ham is cursed. Humility. Okay? Walk humble. Third, fourth one. What did he do? He begot what? Godly children. You see, a godly seed. Meaning what? He was a man who was fruitful in his life in that he mentored an next generation through his life. Okay. Malachi chapter 2 verse number 15. This is what it says. But he did not make them one having a remnant of the spirit. Did he not make them one having a remnant of the spirit? And why one? He seeks what? Godly offspring or godly children. Okay. What does God seek for? Godly children. In his entire life, there are only three converts, huh? Plus three plus six. Six or seven converts. Perfect man. Seven converts in his ministry. Who's that? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their wives, and his wife. That's enough. Seven. He influenced his household and the church. Because, you know, spiritually also, we are required, or rather, we are exhorted to have, be fruitful. No? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you. Through the what? Through the gospel. Today we heard, no? Pastor James sent that 8-minute clip about worship. And he said, how do you become fruitful? Is by being joined to God in the spirit. Fruitfulness happens because of that. Okay. He walked. So I'm telling you something. All young men, young women, older men, older women, you will never live for your own self. Your life is a testimony to other children, smaller children. That is the reason why he says, if any man causes these little children who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him to have what? A millstone around his neck and drown. Therefore, if your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. So if you are a man who is like addicted to movies, stop it. Because you cannot be addicted to movies and say, you don't watch. You can't say that. Because he says, for their sake, what did Jesus do? What is that? He sanctified himself. Did he have to sanctify himself? No. But he did it. Genesis chapter 18. This is what it says about Abraham. Then men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great nation and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because of him. Why? Because I know him, in order that he might command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice. What did he do? He inspired an Isaac. Wow, what a man. A man who feared God. Who said to his daddy, I know you have to give me as an offering. I don't know if I'll run. Just tie me up. Kya baat hai? Do you get one child like that in your ministry? Tie me up. I tell my students, no? I am like the guy who's running after a rooster. You're so evasive. If I run after you, you'll go like this. If I run after you, you'll go like that. You know, that's how they said, sir, they'll play like crazy when they come to the class. They'll say, sir, I'm having a headache. Right till now you are jumping and playing and everything. I have a headache. Sir, my mom told me that I have to come. Third, sir, I think I have a Bible study today. Fourth, sir, I have a Sunday school visit. Spiritual roosters. So they're so evasive. I have choir practice. Sir, I have to go because I have to play the guitar. All my students are looking at me, you know. So they're like that. Sir, my mom called me. If the mothers know under what circumstances the children are using their name, they'll have a heart attack. You see, they're so evasive. But one Isaac, daddy, tie me up. Wow. Wow. What a man. He inspired an Isaac. A man who feared God. And therefore, you know what God is named? He's named the fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac. Uh-huh. Understand this. And finally, verse 12:30. Now I have to close. Okay. Finally, the fifth point. He preserved his what? Testimony. So let me tell you. Let's enumerate five things. First thing. He was a just man. Because he found grace with God. Because of the Spirit of God was working in his life. Because the Spirit of God was contending with everybody else except Noah. What happened to him? He became a just man. He was made into a perfect man. Third, he walked with God. Fourth, he begot. He was fruitful in that he inspired a next generation. Fifth one. He preserved his testimony. Let me tell you something. If you want to evaluate a ministry, evaluate the next generation that the ministry has birthed. Then you know what kind of a minister he was or she was. Okay? Fine. He preserved his testimony. So how did he preserve his testimony? In this corrupt generation. Two ways. We have what we call as apologetics. That is what we'll all like to become apologetics. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if somebody comes and says, why do you believe in Jesus? What do? You have to give a defense. You give a defense. You know what? Because people, nowadays they go to universities, they are baptized here, suddenly they go to universities and they become unbelievers and atheists now. Because they do not know defense. They don't know the reason why they believe in Jesus Christ. They do not have the teaching. Okay? No, tell me, in a football game, who's paid more? The defender or the striker? Are, come on, footballers. Huh? Tell me. Striker. Who's paid more? Lionel Messi? What's the other guy? French guy? What's the name? Mbappe. Okay, Mbappe. Okay. And what is the other guy? Ronaldo? Cristiano Ronaldo. These are all what? Strikers. Strikers. How many of you remember defenders? The only defender I remember in my life is Fabio Cannavaro. Who's Fabio Cannavaro? The captain of the Italian football team. Why do I remember him? Because he defended the ball and he gave it to the striker. That's why I remember him. And the striker made the deciding goal and Germany was out of the tournament and I wanted Germany to get defeated. So Mussolini defeated Hitler. Okay. Okay. So that is how I remember Fabio Cannavaro. So defenders are not very highly paid. Who's paid? Striker. So in Christianity, there are two kinds of people. They are defenders. And there are other kinds of people, what we call as polemics. They challenge your faith. Those are strikers. You think Paul was a defender? He went and challenged. He looked at all these people who are there, who are worshipping idols, and they said, what are you worshipping? What are you worshipping? He challenged their beliefs. This is what we call as polemics. Okay. What do? You say, hey, they're mocking us. They're scoffing us. You don't defend. You know what? You challenge them. What kind of a lifestyle are you living? What kind of a worship are you doing? You know what Peter is called? Oh, sorry. Noah is called? What is he called? For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. What this man is doing, he's challenging everybody else and becoming a preacher. And he's saying, what are you believing? Judgment is coming. Does your belief stand judgment? You are going to die one day or the other. What will happen to you after you die? That's a striker. We know a lot of apologists, but the striker is Paul. He went and challenged everybody's belief. He was on the offensive all the time. He was on the offensive. He was one step ahead of the enemy. He was challenging their beliefs. In other words, what does Noah know? He's challenging your value system through his life. Convicting you through his life. That is how he preserves his testimony. Not by not going and touching others. No. Challenging your belief. Challenging you. For every time Paul challenged, he was beaten and stoned and put in prison, but he never cared. So what are you, a striker or a defender? Ask yourself this question. He did not spare. Look at another defender. Okay. He is also called a just man. What's his name? Somebody said what? Lot. Exactly. But he is a defender. He will not touch anybody. He cannot save himself. Almost he only saved himself. His family is gone. You know why? Because he never challenged the beliefs of his children. Look at this judgment. That is the reason why I did not put this example in today's teaching. I wanted to put him in the last. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is what it says. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would become ungodly. Who delivered what Lot? Righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked for that just man. But the problem with this just man was, he stayed a just man. He was never made perfect. He never walked with God. He never brought a godly seed, and therefore he was never able to influence the next generation. So just men don't remain just men. Did you understand that? So he says, no. So he went and told his sons-in-law, judgment is coming. They laughed at him. They challenged his belief. I've seen young people, they come to church and they get baptized and they will go to university. Finally, after one semester, they're atheists now. And after atheists now, they will tell their family who's on fire for God, hey, there are so many unbelievers who are better than Christians, okay? What have you become? What? Is this your testimony? Is this your testimony now? I'm not saying that no unbelievers are better than Christians. But what does the Bible say? Your righteousness has to exceed their righteousness. They will challenge you. Understand this. Righteous Lot. He's a defender all the time. He will never challenge you. So what do you want to remain as? A striker or a defender? Striker. You'll be paid more in eternity. You'll be paid more in eternity. Philippians chapter 2. This is what it says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will, to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Don't stop there. And among whom you shine as what? Lights. That means your light has to shine. Challenge them. Show their darkness and show their sin. You don't have to preach one word. Your life is a witness. Okay. So this is a man who escapes judgment. How many of you want to escape judgment? Yield to the Spirit this morning. And let's recap. What is the recap? Let's go back to that slide. The 5 lessons from Noah. He became a just man. He did not remain a just man. He was made perfect through sufferings and tribulation. He walked with God, kept himself humble. He never let spiritual success get into his head. Okay. He begot a seed which feared God. I'll tell you something. If you have godly children and you have to constantly upgrade your godliness so that you can challenge them constantly, that's a good thing.
to have a fired up church. Understand? Because it works both ways. Okay? Iron sharpens iron. Okay? He kept himself pure in the midst of how? Not only defending his convictions, but also challenging the other's convictions by being a preacher of righteousness and not being a just lot. Just man. Not a just man, but a man who's made perfect. So this morning, from the life of Noah, we want to learn this lesson. Lord, I just don't want to remain a just man. I want to finish my course. I want to have a life which will come through judgment. Can we all stand? Yes, we can have one song and we can stop after the song. Praneet, if you're there. Is he busy? Or maybe because it's too late, we can stop. We'll pray. Let's close our eyes, bow our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Noah, because of whom we are all here. If Noah wasn't there, we wouldn't have been there. Thank you, God, that you found a man who yielded to your spirit and did not resist your spirit. And may you find in this congregation, beginning with me, people who will yield to your spirit. Help us, Lord. You spoke your word. Let your word burn in our hearts and become a part of our life, our very nature. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our resolve. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to obey and be a witness. Empower us not only to be defenders of our faith, but challengers of the value system of this world. Enable us not to remain just men like Lot, but to be like Noah, who will press on and who will challenge the next generation and who will have a godly progeny. To that end, I pray that you will bless each one of us. Edify us, exhort us, build us up, strengthen us. And even as we go about this week, let your presence go ahead of us, straight in crooked paths for us, in our workplaces and wherever we are. Enable us to know that we are ambassadors of Christ, being given the ministry of reconciliation so that we can reconcile. We can plead with this generation to be reconciled to God through our life, through our testimony, and through our ministry. To that end, I pray that you will bless each and every one of us. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And every lying tongue that is going to raise against us in judgment, we shall condemn. For this is our heritage as us, as a children of God, as a servants of God. Because our righteousness comes from you and you alone. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.